Tuesday, July 11th, 2006, Upon Further Review, Episode Number 5. Five times the excitement, five times the fun.
Stop messing with me. You're not missing a thing. You keep going and I'm just showing that I never stop to think.
All right then, and here we are once again to regale you with reviews, both old and new, says Greg with his poetry. I'm Greg.
With your poetry? That's speaking quite highly of yourself, don't you think?
You haven't introduced yourself, have you?
Oh, sorry. This is Clea.
Okay, good. Now we're all set. Episode 5, we totally forgot. Oh, God. So, welcome to Upon Further Review, and here we are in episode number 5, my dear. I can't believe that it's lasted this long, but...
Are you going to say this at the beginning, everyone? Are you going to say, I can't believe it's 6? I can't believe that we reached number 600! It's like it's a habit!
Back at 722, I wasn't sure if this would last.
But now that it's 723, wow, what
You never can tell. I might do something quite like that. But no, seriously, we...
great!
You're like, yeah.
Stay tuned to hear Greg repeat himself every week.
We want to thank everybody, as always, for listening. We have more new countries, by the way, that have tuned in. And I can't,
you didn't tell me that.
Yeah, well, we're getting to the point where I don't even know what these countries are because I don't know the abbreviation. So if you're from IL, I mean, I was like, Illinois is not a separate country that I heard of. So wherever
IL... Have they changed their time zone thing? You know how they don't usually...
It's Indiana. Indiana does that.
Oh, that's
yeah, and
right,
they have.
Indiana.
I think they are doing that.
Because the cows.
Right. Yep.
So you think they changed it, so now they do it like the rest of the country?
Yeah, because the cows lobbied, and they were pretty effective.
No, they used to not do it because of the cows.
Right, that's right.
So and the cow lobby must have...
Apparently, they eventually just decided, because I know that there was a big thing about how they were tired of being sort of made to look like, you know, ignorant hicks because they were off time from everybody else, apparently, and so...
And
so,
now this has changed everything?
Apparently, now they're no longer ignorant hicks. Apparently,
right.
We know some nice people in Indiana, so I, you know...
Yeah,
I know.
Shoshana was always proud of the fact that they didn't do...
Right.
Daylight savings time.
It was like a badge of honor. And
actually, you know what? I don't think
we stripped from them.
I don't think that we actually explained that that's what we were talking about. Since we know what each other's thinking, we just went into a tirade around daylight savings time. And I don't think we actually explained.
Everyone's like, what are you talking about?
That we were talking about the fact that Indiana used to not do
upon further on crack. What the heck is wrong with you? But we do want to thank everybody. So if you are from the country of IL abbreviation, I apologize for not knowing what that is. I'll try to get up to date on my country abbreviations. We want to thank you for
that's
listening.
That's not Italy, right?
No, because Italy, no, that's IT, and that's there as
that's
well.
Right.
So we've had more people downloading and listening, and that's great, and we ask you to please spread the word and leave comments and do all those things that you guys know how to do. A couple things that we want to very quickly clear up before we get into the show today. First of all, something about Podshow. You guys may have noticed if you've been to the webpage recently, and I hope that you have, that we put an entry on a couple days ago about Podshow Plus, and I want to very quickly explain what happened. Those of you who are familiar with podcasting, who are podcasters yourselves, will know the name of Adam Curry. Those of you who are familiar with watching videos in the 1980s off MTV will also know Adam Curry, possibly, because he was a VJ originally. He was a video jockey who introduced different music videos. This is back in the day when MTV actually had videos, let me say. And so once he got done with that gig, he started work on podcasting, and he's sort of considered one of the big founders of podcasting because he really was the first person to recognize the commercial potential of podcasting. So he did all this stuff with advertising and sponsoring and getting people involved with stuff like that. So once all that was done, and you know, he's produced this thing called Podshow, and a lot of people sort of have problems with Podshow in general because it seems kind of corporate. I always felt that he seemed like a nice enough guy, but whatever. So he's just released a new service called Podshow Plus, which is kind of like a podcast directory, I guess. And there was a lot of, you know, bitching and moaning about whether this service was good or not, and I actually went over to check it out. And when I did a search, I found that Upon Further Review had mysteriously shown up on Podshow Plus, that I had not submitted anything to Podshow Plus, but somehow we had shown up there. And everything about us had shown up there. Our photo, all of our episodes were listed there. And what was worse was that everything was routed through Podshow. So if you click on the quote-unquote show site, it went to another site in Podshow. So if you didn't know better and you were just going there, you'd be like, oh, this is a great show that's hosted, created, founded, defined by Podshow, which was not the case.
Until you realize that every other podcast was also having that happen to it.
Well, right. I mean, and basically what happened was he basically took every podcast that was listed on Podcast Alley and just imported it into the directory. Now, I'm still not a big fan of doing that. I don't think that's right. But I've been in contact with him since then. I actually posted some comments on his weblog, and he responded, and they fixed a lot of these problems. And so for now, Klee and I are going to stay on Podshow. But we want people to be aware, if you're listening to us in Podshow, that we are not affiliated with Podshow Plus. I mean, I suppose it could happen in the future at some point, but we are independent, unaffiliated, and just in general principles for new podcasting directories out there, anyone who's thinking about doing this, don't take somebody's show without asking them. Like, it's just rather obvious on the face of it. Don't do that. Just ask them first and get permission before doing it, and that would be much appreciated. But he was very responsive and very, very reasonable, and I appreciate that, so everything worked out in the end.
But you say, when you were first telling me about it, you said that they would know better. Do you really think they would know better?
Yeah, I do. Because
then
a lot
why
of
would
them,
they do it? They
well,
just thought they could get away with it?
Depends on which conspiracy theorist you believe. I've heard some people say that they did this deliberately because they wanted to drive more traffic to Podshow. And so by doing this, they build up, you know, attention to it. There's some people, I mean, he says that it was a mistake, but I mean, it's not just, you know, your finger slipped and, oh my God, I typed in a line of code that said all everyone go to Podshow. Like, you know, it doesn't work that way. So I don't believe it was a mistake, but I think they probably didn't think of the ramifications of it as much as this. And I don't think they intentionally were trying to screw people over. I just think that they were trying to get a jump start with their directory, and I don't think they did it in an ethical way, but I don't think they intentionally were trying to do bad things. And, you know, they seem to have responded very quickly to people's concerns. So much for Podshow. Other thing is we were going to do Pirates of the Caribbean Dead Man's Chest today, but somebody went to see the movie without somebody else. Clea, would you explain this?
You know, now, you can't say that we were going to. It wasn't planned or set. It was a possibility because it was coming out.
We should go see Pirates of the Caribbean together. That's a great idea, hon. Let's do that when it comes out.
I don't remember having that conversation.
Of course not.
At all.
Right.
I remember having the conversation with Catherine.
Mm-hmm.
And Catherine called up. I'm sitting watching Gattaca on Netflix.
Uh-huh. You were already watching a movie.
Good movie, by the way. Had never actually gotten around to seeing it. Not bad. And she calls up and says, you know, I'm back from the wedding that she went to up in Boston. You want to see Pirates of the Caribbean? I said, sure. Sounds like an idea. Nice
Charming.
Thing to do.
Meanwhile, I'm driving up to
Sunday.
Boston to rehearse with my band, and you're flying off to who knows where to go see Pirates of the Caribbean just because Catherine did a little Jedi mind trick and said, you know, come with me, come with me.
Well, I told her afterwards, I scolded her, I said, you know, as maid of honor, she should have taken into consideration that you wanted to go, because what because I was like, I don't know, understand why I would have known that he wanted to go, and she said, the person who never remembers anything, well, but he did go to the first one with us.
That's
I said, well, if
right.
you knew that, why didn't you think about this? And she said, well, I asked Matt, her boyfriend, she asked her boyfriend whether or not he wanted to go. So she had taken care of her boyfriend, so I guess I was supposed to have taken care of
him. I was going to say, it's like, or by definition, well, since Matt didn't want to go, clearly Greg will not want to go either, because...
No, she didn't think about you. I guess that's my responsibility.
Great.
Which I really don't appreciate.
I know, seriously.
Okay.
So, okay, we can't do a full review of it, but just very quickly, you want to give me the one sentence impression, good, bad, ugly?
You know what? I'll give you Catherine, and then mine. She was a little disappointed, because she felt it was mostly action sequence and not as much funny and plot.
Okay.
And I, being a big X-Men fan and being incredibly disappointed by X-Men,
right.
and being a big Pirates of the Caribbean fan, was not disappointed with Pirates of the Caribbean.
Okay.
I have to say, though, that there are occasions when Clea will laugh, and we all know I laugh loud.
Yes. Please reference episode 2 for a classic example of this.
Of
or
Clea's
actually earlier
laugh.
This episode.
Or know. Yeah. I laugh and no one else in the theater laughs. And I don't have a problem with that, except that it is a bit disturbing.
Right.
Or I mean, cuz I don't care. I mean, no one else I don't know with anyone. So I don't technically care, but your social, you know, cues kind of go and then I have to,
right.
then I it takes me out of the movie.
The children, the three children crying every time you laugh, doesn't, that's part of that social cue, right?
Yeah, that doesn't happen, Greg.
Oh, okay.
So this actually, a perfect example of this happened during the first Pirates of the Caribbean movie. Towards the end, Orlando Bloom's character says, I will accept the consequences of my actions. Something to the effect of that.
Right.
And I go, you know, extremely loud, because I find it the most ridiculous line, over the top, completely hysterically
right.
stupid.
And it is a ridiculous line.
No one else laughed because it's not funny. It's them trying to be dramatic and it's not dramatic.
And because Cleo was at Orlando Bloom's private theater. No, I just made that part up.
So what happens is I grew up in Seattle, but my dad used to take me down to California all the time and drop me off at Disneyland by myself. And so I grew up in Disneyland.
Okay.
And I love Pirates of the Caribbean ride. And there are numerous references to the Pirates of the Caribbean ride.
Okay.
That if you haven't done the ride, you wouldn't know. So there's at least 5 separate occasions where I was cracking up for at least 10 seconds. And the theater is silent.
Right.
Because of some reference that I saw, and I was extremely happy. So other than that fact that it embarrassed me
right.
in public.
Which was really not the movie's fault.
yeah, it is. It should take that into consideration.
Naturally.
I thought it was worth it. I thought it was great action. I thought that there was development of plot, but I guess it's a part of a stupid trilogy again. Because we can't just have a movie.
You know, we're breaking into a full-scale review of this now. You realize
it has. Right? Okay, well, you'll have to edit. Editing being a topic for later in the podcast,
okay.
which we shall discuss. So they leave it with like 5 open lines.
Yep.
So guess what, people? If you go to see it, you're not going to see the whole movie. You're going to have to wait till the next one. But I will not give it a star because we're not actually reviewing it.
Although you might have been surprised. But yes, that's true. So apparently, decent movie. Certainly worth going to see.
Yeah.
And I will let you guys know what I think about it, minus any laughing that I may or may not do, Ron, the next time that we do a show after I've seen it. So.
All right.
So 3 things that we're going to be discussing in today's show that we're going to do actual reviews of. We're going to start off by reviewing the show on Bravo called Project Runway because I just love this show and I have every DVD collection of it. No, this is Clea's thing, actually. I do watch it, though, and it's kind of cool. So we got that. And then second, we're going to be reviewing the North Shore Animal League. And this is a shelter for dogs and cats and animals. It's out on Long Island. It's fairly well known. But if you don't live in New York or near New York, we're going to use this as sort of a vehicle to talk about why it's good to adopt from shelters and why it's bad to buy things from pet stores. And we'll talk about that in a little bit.
Evil. I think actually it's evil.
Evil. Okay.
Right.
And then the last thing we're going to review is a podcast called Choose the Left, which was submitted to us for review. And we'll do that at the end of the show. So let's get to it.
Now, the reason I went off on a kind of a review is that I'm only going to talk about Project Runway very briefly.
Okay. Well,
because it hasn't started yet. The 3rd season is going to be starting Wednesday.
On the new season of Project Runway, you're either in
or you're out.
This competition is hot. I'm hot. I'm definitely going to win without a question. I should have no problems with the other contestants as long as they stay out my way. I love being a star. Can't you see it? I'm glistening.
Heidi Klum hosts an all-new season of Project Runway. Wednesday, July 12th at 10, 9 central.
Only on Bravo.
Watch what happens.
So,
and this, by the way, Project Runway can be found on www.bravotv.com/project_runway. Very simple.
Okay. So this podcast isn't going to be out until Wednesday.
Right.
So if you get this, hurry to your television and turn it to Bravo. And if
right.
you don't have Bravo, oh my God, you might as well not be paying for cable because there's no reason why you should be watching cable and not
so
Bravo.
For people who aren't familiar with it, why don't you explain a little bit about the premise of the show?
Okay. So I want to bring this up because I think that actually non-female homosexual men and who else would like this? Who else would people think would only like
I'm
this?
I'm still reasoning my head through non-female homosexual men.
Okay. So
I'll get there eventually.
So you might have seen commercials, and if you're in New York, there are like posters of it all over New York. So it might be in other countries as well and cities. But
And Heidi Klum, who's the host, she's German, isn't she? Isn't she a German supermodel?
Yeah. Well,
so there's that international
presence. She's an international
presence.
Supermodel.
Yeah.
She's
married to Seal, by the way, the singer Seal.
Yep. But you might have seen it and think, oh, my God, why? That's, you know, only gay guys and women would like that. Actually, I think a lot of people would like it because it's standard reality television,
mm-hmm.
but it's something different than standard reality television because it's about a bunch of clothing designers who want to be the next best clothing designer in America.
Okay. So if you're a clothing designer, you would dig this.
I should probably say I'm speaking to the heterosexual males and homosexual women.
You realize that 50 people have just driven off the road trying to decide who you're actually supporting this. It's just like, me? Is she talking to who?
you know, you really should give it a shot because it's funny. It's got strong characters. It's an extremely well-edited show.
Yes.
And so it's entertaining. And so if you're looking for something new, the third season is starting on Wednesday night at, what is it, 9 o'clock?
I believe it's 9 o'clock. And it is true that it's intriguing because they have them do these different sort of design contests. Like one of them from last season, I think, was they had to design a figure skating dress for Sasha Cohen,
yep.
Right? And so they have different things like
that's
that.
That's a really gay example to give, Greg.
I'm shocked, really. So as a non-homosexual male myself,
yes.
I mean, I find the show, I think the show
but
is...
But you liked it. Now, you wouldn't have watched it unless
you were
I was
it.
Sitting there with a TV and
it's
you couldn't
not
watch
bad.
Anything
it's
else.
It's not bad. I mean, because reality shows are so oversaturated anyway, that's one thing I have with it, but it's not bad. I mean, as those shows go, it's not bad. I agree that it's well edited. I can't get over Heidi Klum, though. It just cracks me up because she's trying to be very sort of, you know, firm and everything. When
but she also has a good sense of humor.
Yeah,
with
but
it.
Well, she does. But that's the thing is that so when she says the thing is like you're either in or you're out. And it's like I can't take it seriously. It's like all of you standing on the runway, you're in or you're out. And she does it the same way every time.
You're saying her with like a Hispanic.
No, German.
Well, I know that's what you were trying, Greg.
You want see
not
this
what
is,
you were doing.
You expect me to be like, and you will be Anschluss or you will not be Anschluss. That's what you want. But no, it is a good show, actually, for that kind of show. I mean, if you don't like reality shows, you're not going to like this. But if you're neutral to them, I think this is one of the better ones that's out there. I would
yeah, and
say.
If you like them, you're going to like it.
Yeah, I would say that's true.
Because Greg doesn't like reality TV.
No.
And he's not a
homosexual
live
reality.
Man.
Why would I want to go see reality
TV? And he liked it.
That's true.
So you had two strikes against you and you still liked
that's
it.
That's true.
So
what do you want to give? Are you Project Runway? What's the rating?
Yeah. Well, I can't say that I know what the third season will be because it hasn't started yet.
Sure.
But based on the first two seasons, I want to give it a 3.5.
Okay. I can go along with that. 3.5. And if you're a homosexual male, you can give it whatever you want.
Oh, if you're a homosexual male, you would totally think it's a 5.
3.5 out of 5 for Project Runway.
Yeah.
Okay, second one that is up on the docket to review is North Shore Animal League. And the North Shore Animal League can be found at the website www.nsalamerica.org.
This is a shelter. It's a no-kill shelter.
Right.
Where you can go to adopt. Then they also have adoption.
They have mobile adopter units, which I think is very funny. They're like these RVs with like pets in them that they right. send out to all places
goes,
in the Northeast and stuff.
Yeah, that goes in New England.
Yep.
And then it also is a site that you could support if you wanted. You could go and
right.
make donations.
And this
support.
Is, I think, the biggest private shelter in America because they have, you know, when after Hurricane Katrina happened, a lot of the displaced animals in Katrina ended up here because New York has done such a good job, yay New York, with spaying and neutering of pets that they actually can take in pets and everything else from other, you know, shelters that are kill shelters. By the way, let me say one quick thing about no-kill. We'll talk about the pet store thing in a minute, but here's the thing about no-kill. I've heard lots of arguments from people who make the argument that, well, there's so much overpopulation of dogs and cats that having a no-kill shelter is just contributing to the problem. This is a dumb argument, and I'll explain why. The dogs and cats that already exist, it's not like, well, if you continue to buy dogs and cats, you're going to be furthering the problem, so just allow the dogs and cats to die. The dogs and cats are already living beings that are on this earth, and as such deserve, in my view, protection. The idea of a no-kill shelter is you set up a situation where you prevent, you know, birth in the first place. You spay and neuter so as to keep the population down. But once they're here, the idea that you can't keep them in a shelter long enough until they're going to be adopted is ridiculous. In fact, the majority of people in America still, I'm sorry to say, and Clea and I will talk about this in a minute, still buy animals from pet stores rather than getting them either from responsible breeders or preferably from a shelter like North Shore. So if those people were going out and going to North Shore Animal League and the shelters around the country, you wouldn't need a quote-unquote kill shelter. Those are designed based purely on the idea that, well, we don't have the resources to spend, and so these poor, you know, dogs and cats that are perfectly, you know, good creatures and perfectly wonderful pets, you know, potential pets get put down because they just have no room for them. North Shore doesn't allow that to happen, and that's why we like no-kill shelters, okay?
Well,
we
yeah.
think that's an important thing.
Greg obviously is has strong feelings around no-kill shelters. I don't necessarily go one way or the other on it, but I think that North Shore Animal League kind of proves Greg's point. Because, as he said, New York has been so successful that North Shore is able to go to other states and other countries, actually. They've taken in animals.
From China, yeah.
China.
Yep.
From all over the country. Our dog's, I think, mother was rescued from Pennsylvania kill shelter.
That's correct. And then she and both Lilo, our dog, and then her brother, Sox, ended up at North Shore, and then they both got adopted. We adopted Lilo, right. And someone else adopted
Sox.
So I
think it kind of proves his point that North Shore can survive and keep running.
Yep.
And it may take a year, it may take a year and a half, but their dogs get adopted.
That's right.
And I think that does say something. And while the dogs are living, they're enjoying, they're having lots of social contact, they have great volunteers there that take really great care of them, and so they have a good life.
Yep.
So I do think it kind of proves your point. But we just wanted to let people know about North Shore Animal League. So people can know, like, if you're thinking about what's a good shelter to go to, especially if any of you are families and that you have, because sometimes shelters, especially if they're around a particular breed, are like Nazis. They will not let you adopt
They all require, like, you know, a fenced-in yard, and then they require, and then they just go through these list of things if you have a certain history and everything else. And
if you have a 2-year-old child.
Or... Yeah, and it's like, if you exist on the earth, you know, we probably are not a good candidate, you know, and
no, I think that would be okay, honey.
Oh, all right. Yeah. Well, I suppose. Yeah. But no, I mean, like, the point being that they make it so restrictive that it makes it hard to adopt. And in our case, when we went into North Shore Animal League, we went in, and we had been looking, we had gone there a couple of times, and we went in and asked and told them a little bit about what we were looking for. And they said, okay, fine. And we went through and they finally suggested Lilo, and we met her and, you know, did all this stuff. And then we adopted her, and it was a wonderful thing for us to have done. We were really happy that we did that. And we had this sort of this moment where we went out into the waiting room and they did this background check. So at one point they actually called me in and they're like, is your name, you know, Gregory Wilson? I'm like, yes. Do you reside in? And then they were like, the Bronx in like the, I'm like, no. And they're like, okay, because we had a report of someone who returned. I'm like, no, I live in Brooklyn. Here's my ID. But the point is they were doing a background check and they followed up after we adopted her. Not only did they send us material, but they made, I would say probably about 4 or 5 phone calls over the next maybe 2 to 3 months. And they didn't stop. Like, they left messages and then left stuff to make sure they talked to us directly.
Yeah, you're saying things kind of scary, though, Greg. What my point was is that they do the research they need to do to make sure that we're safe.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah,
but not overboard in saying simply because you have a 2-year-old child and no fence, you can't have this dog, which is ridiculous.
The point is they follow up, but they don't restrict you.
Right.
You
know? Some dogs need certain supports, but it's a range. And so that's, I think, important. Because I've had actually 2 friends when we were living up in Boston that had a long time trying to adopt a dog because the shelters were so strict.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's great. So that, you know, they were this close to going and just buying a dog at a pet store. And I'm like,
that's
okay, those shelters are losing the point if they're going to do that.
Which leads us to the thing about buying from pet stores. And we want to make this really clear because I think both Clea and I are very much in agreement about this. Do not buy animals from pet stores, okay? Period. And here's why. Pet stores exclusively, any pet store that buys, I'm not talking about fish, that's fine, okay? But I mean dogs and cats and even birds. Any pet store that buys dogs or cats or birds universally, and there are no exceptions, okay, buy them from what are called puppy and kitten mills, which are literally places where they have dogs breeding with other dogs in non-genetically controlled, filthy conditions so that they can have puppies that they can then bring to more filthy conditions and eventually sell to you. Quite apart from the fact that this is immoral and unethical and awful, on top of everything else, it also is going to give you a dog which is much more likely to come down with illness, which is much more likely to have genetic disease because they haven't been controlled through breeding and, you know, careful selection. It is bad all the way around. And the only way that you can stop this practice is by stopping buying from the pet stores and advocating with your representatives to get this thing changed. In the meantime, you really want a dog? Hey, there's lots of shelters. In fact, no matter where you're hearing this podcast, I would guarantee that near you is a shelter. If you don't want to go to a shelter, at least go to a reputable breeder. Breeders are more expensive, I might add. Like, we were able to get Lilo for $50, I think, was the adoption fee.
Right.
You know, and that's, by the way, cheaper than what you're going to get at most pet stores on top of everything else.
Right.
And you will have a wonderful pet. Every one of my dogs that I ever had was from a shelter. I have never had one complaint about any of them. They are wonderful, wonderful animals, and they've enriched my life in ways I can't even explain. Do not buy dogs and cats from pet stores. It is irresponsible. It's wrong. Okay? That's going to be the... That's an opinion that I'm not even joking about. It's okay. Wrong.
But with that, too, I've had numerous friends that have bought from the pet stores, and I want to say 75% of them have had some kind of medical issue.
Yep.
There is research showing that that usually the majority of pets that you get at a pet store,
right,
either because of the conditions or because of the breeding, have lots,
right,
of medical issues.
Right.
So not only are you supporting the practice, not only are you spending a lot of money that you don't need to spend to get a good quality dog,
absolutely,
but also you're spending more money after you get it. You get this little pup, you get attached to it, and then it has all these medical illnesses.
I agree.
Now, I do want to say some people have also had the same kind of problems with breeders, that sometimes that if you get a bad breeder, you also will sometimes get a medical issue. So I just want to say that you want to make sure you get a good breeder.
But at least with a breeder, you know the person and there's more direct control.
And you can see what their, you can usually, yeah, see their license and see what their results are. But I also want to say that North Shore Animal League and certain shelters, if the dogs, if they have any medical illnesses or issues that you become aware of in what usually like the 30 days or something after you get them, they cover the medical treatment.
Yeah, the full medical cost of that item. And it's if there's a pre-existing medical condition, like if they have diabetes or something like that, they will actually cover treatment for the life of the dog.
The life of the dog.
So they really, you know, North Shore, when we have to move on to the last to the podcast, but North Shore has done a tremendously good job. They were wonderful with us. And the point is, one, North Shore is good, but two, shelters are good. So whether you like dogs or whether you like cats or whether you like birds or snakes or, you know, go to your shelter first before you go these other ways.
All right.
What do you want to give North Shore?
5.
Yeah, I agree. This is a straight 5 out of 5. I think they're that good. And I think that they are definitely worth your time and attention.
You know, and this debate about buying a pet or adopting a dog really reminded me of another debate we should debate sometime, Greg.
Which is
adopting a child versus artificial insemination.
We'll be talking about that next week. Right. So moving on.
Hey, this is Jake.
I'm Erin.
And we do a podcast called Choose the Left.
Exes.
We used to be married.
Now we're divorced.
But we're still friends.
Oh, God.
And we do a show about life in Utah.
Oh.
So check out our podcast. We're hilarious.
Yes, we are.
Choose the Left.
Do it.
Jakespage.libsyn.com. Go to jakeauctions.com and click on podcast.
Oh, my gosh.
We're
Do
hilarious.
It. Do it.
Choose the Left.
Do it.
Okay, so Choose the Left.
Now, you have more experience with CoupleCast, Greg, so I don't know if you should tell me what makes a good CoupleCast, what makes a bad one.
Well, you know, what's interesting is that this show, which is run, and I should say, by the way, that you can find Choose the Left, which is a podcast that was submitted to us for review, at Jake's page, J-A-K-E-S page, .libsyn.com. A lot of podcasts use liberated syndication, so that's what these guys are on. And it's called Choose the Left X's, is actually the full title of the podcast. This is a sort of standard, a classic couple cast, I would say, where you have these two people who are connected in some way, although there's a little twist on that in this case, but they're connected in some way, and they basically sit down and talk. The differences, and we'll get into some good and bad things about it, but one of the differences is the reason that I liked the Eclectic Review, which we did at the very beginning, which was sort of a couple cast, is because they had subject matter that they were going over. And this one that Jake and Erin, Jake Cordova and Erin Hatch, I believe is their name, are the ones who do it. Theirs is just sort of a free-flowing, okay, well, let's just talk and talk about what happened to us. And personally, I don't find that as interesting, which we'll get into. But that's the standard couple cast. It's just, hey, here's this cool stuff that happened to us over the past week.
If a person likes a couple cast, that's what they're looking for.
That's kind of what they're looking for, right. It's something which is sort of free-flowing and all that kind of stuff.
And we should note that, I don't know if this is true, but I think that it started as just Jake.
Right.
And then Erin came in about, you know, maybe midway.
Or even earlier. I think it was maybe like the third or the fourth episode or something.
I want to say it's more like the fifth or
maybe
sixth.
Maybe it was. But anyway, yeah.
And so. And then I guess they both found that it was something that they wanted to do.
Yep.
And maybe he liked having a partner or something like that. And so they decided to have it be two of them.
The interesting twist is that they were married but are now divorced very amicably, clearly, and they're still very good friends. So that's kind of the twist on the couple cast. I don't know of too many divorced couple
which is a socially interesting dynamic.
And they live in Utah, so that's even more socially interesting. How about that?
You people are going the wrong direction. You need to be marrying more people, not getting divorced. Let's get with the program, man.
Well, I think that's the point, is like, I think they don't match their surroundings, and they're so they could either do drugs or they could do podcasts.
Or they could do podcasts, so they do this. Good things first. First of all, although I have some things I'll mention about the website, I do like the fact that I think Jake is the one who does it, and Jake must have linked, I mean, because they talk about tons of stuff in a typical podcast.
Yeah, they'll just randomly flow from topic to topic.
And he links every thing.
Topic.
I mean, I link a lot of stuff. I thought I linked a lot of stuff in our show notes, but let me tell you, I am nothing compared to this. He links to everything. So that's kind of neat, and he uses pictures and stuff like that. And I think beyond that, I think the website reflects them a little bit in that it's freewheeling, and they're clearly fun. I mean, these are the kind of people that you would sort of dig hanging out with. You know, they're nice people. Yeah. In fact, everybody that has submitted reviews to us have been nice people, I've noticed. It must be something about podcasting. But they're nice people, and that part of it is fun. There's a kind of freshness to them, which I do like. And I'll get to some issues with it that I have. But that was – the website's fun, and I think they are fun.
It could be more creative, and I don't know if that's because of the format that they use. Is that the Liberty?
Yeah, well, this is why I like WordPress and PodPress. PodPress. Go to PodPress. I really like PodPress for that reason, because I think that Libsyn – a lot of people who listen to us use Libsyn, and it's fine. I just think it looks more – amateurish, I guess. I don't know how else to put it. I'm not as big a fan of it. But
all right. Well, I don't want to break up good and bad. I think a couple times ago we said let's tell the good and then the bad or something like that.
Okay, we don't have to do that.
But then I flow from one to the next.
That's
and then
fine.
You tried to correct me and tried to control me, and I
go
didn't like it.
Go ahead and flow. Go
thank
flow.
You. I'm going to flow.
Flow it.
So we mentioned that.
Flow.
Okay, thank you.
Sorry.
We mentioned that he is very dedicated in all the little things that he linked. Two different websites.
Including ours, thank you.
Yeah, although why is our font smaller than Cookie Monster?
Well, if you put us up in a metaphorical battle between us and Cookie Monster, I guess the argument is we'd lose, which is inaccurate. We would actually kick Cookie Monster's ass.
I just did it the other day by myself. You weren't even, I mean, come on.
That's what that was. Cookie Monster, no.
Hey, you know what?
Cookie Monster.
He was asking for it. But I think he could spend a little less time on that and a little bit more time on editing. I wonder if he doesn't think, if he doesn't realize that you can edit. Like, I don't know if you guys realize, but sometimes, and not very often because we are former debaters, so we rarely use the word
That never happens.
I can't remember
the last time.
Oh, very, very rare. But if... Let's say it got in there.
Right.
The power of Greg and Audacity editing just takes it away.
It's like a god.
You just cut it and paste it. And so I don't think he understands, particularly because, overall, they don't really have any structure, right?
Right.
There's some that are 30 minutes, some that are an hour,
some that are 25 minutes. Yeah.
So it's the obviously they haven't gone in and said this is, I mean, for us, we've gone in and said this is going to be 30, 40 minutes.
Yeah.
Your MEP report, you've gone in and said it's going to be an hour.
Right.
So they don't know. And that's fine. But I think it means that it shows that they don't really see, let's listen to it. This is the flow. Let's get out. So that was a little superfluous. Okay, that didn't quite go anywhere. Let's cut it.
And that's reflected, I think, in part of the one of the issues that I have with the show is that although it's fun and I think they're nice people, couple casts where people just ramble become irritating to me after a while. And the reason is because I feel like, okay, this stuff is all amusing to you, but the stuff that you find – here's a classic example, okay? When I was – I used to edit a literary magazine way back in the day. And a person once came in and gave me this piece to put in literary magazine. And it was this weird thing about something being on a beach and some bizarre – and I was like – okay, but what is this about? They're like, it's about a thing that I really don't want to talk about. You know, it just was a really important issue. I'm like, well, then why is it going in a literary magazine? And they're like, well, because it's really important to me. I'm like, right, so why isn't it in your diary then? And they're like, well, because it... And the point is that if nobody has access to it, if nobody understands the inside jokes, then nobody else is really going to find it that interesting. And I think that that's part of the issue that I have with a couple casts generally. Now, again, these people seem like nice people, and they do explain some of their stuff, but a lot of the stuff I find, that's not just that it's inaccessible, but it's kind of...
Okay.
It's amateurish, and editing can really help sort of tighten that stuff up.
Because overall, too, what I'd like to say, take yours and twist it a little bit, there's one point in episode... where she talks about how her friend mispronounces carafe.
Right.
And that's funny. Yeah. Then they proceed to laugh hysterically at it for 30 seconds.
Yeah.
They find themselves so funny. But I want to say this. After a while, their laughing is quite contagious.
Yeah, no, it's endearing. They have really good laughs.
And I'm not just saying their laughs, because they make a point of it that some people have commented on their laughs being good laughs. I'm not saying that. I'm saying their personalities are actually quite contagious.
I suppose.
They are quite interesting and funny people. And I think that if they just sit there and talk for an hour, there are quite a few gems in there. But I think to take the show to the next level, they need to cut out a little bit, edit a little bit, make it a little bit quicker paced, right, and a little bit more cohesive. They got a lot of talent.
And I think it depends partially on what they want. You know, if what they want to do is just to produce a show for family and friends and everything, then that's fine. And they can do that. That's what they've got right now.
That's a good point.
But I think if what they're really trying to do is do a show that people can really enjoy broadly. And look, they have listeners. I'm not saying there aren't people who are going to like this. But really, to stretch themselves, I think the point is that they have some talent. They obviously have some good chemistry. But again, make the show more accessible, and especially make the show tighter. And the way you do that is by editing. Again, you don't have to make it into some super refined corporate thing, but you can maybe take out every time we hear the lawnmower going past you when you're doing the recording.
Right.
And that's the other thing too, by the way, which we noticed, which is, I guess, that they record on a portable, you know, recording device or something.
Yeah, I don't understand why. Are they not allowed to go? Is it part of the divorce? They can't go to each other's home.
It seems bizarre. They're like, you're allowed to do podcasts, but not to see each other in your own home.
I don't understand.
But like, you know, why not? You know, they do. And the thing is, the places where they go to do stuff doesn't really have much of an impact on their show positively. Like they do a show from a Sizzler, but it's not like they're like, okay, let's go interview classic Utahians, if that's how you say it, in Sizzler. You know, so it's like they're just doing it. And what that means is that the quality is kind of lower, the audio quality. And I don't even see why it's necessary. Do it in front of your computer. You know, why do you have to have that lower quality recording?
Yeah, I don't know.
So,
but also I do want to encourage them that, yes, sometimes things happen and you comment on it and it's funny and you keep it in, but sometimes you cut it out. So I think that I just want to make sure that we're not saying that you should be tight-assed and you should cut everything out. Like the first time when they're like, oh, great, we found this spot. Now the lawnmower is going to cue to hear
that's
that.
Funny.
But not then every time. You know, the first time when she comments, oh my God, there's bugs. I don't want to be a girl, but there's bugs. Okay. But then not,
because then we get the idea of the bugs.
Every time.
We're there. Bugs, you, we're with you.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't want you to think that we're just saying, you know, you have to be tight and you can't go off the cuff. Because the whole, as we said earlier, the whole podcast is off the cuff.
Right.
I mean, she is like a random, easily distracted little ball of funniness, you know, where she can go to this and that and this and change her voice. And
yep.
So, I mean, obviously you don't want to control her. Let her go. But then when you sit down, Jake, or if, you know, bring her into, don't make this just you, when you sit down at your computer and decide what to keep, what to let go of, that's where you can really play with the second level of creativity of your show.
Right. And I think the more that you can do that, the more that you can sort of take it to that next level. Even in terms of, like, at one point he was talking about the encoding and how, like, you know, it sounds like they sound like chipmunks when they go through a flash player. There's a thing which you can download which is called a LAME converter, L-A-M-E MP3 converter, which is free, and that will convert it in about 5 minutes or less. And I do it all the time with shows that we have. So that's the kind of stuff which, again, will sort of improve, you know, the reach that's going to get you guys, as I say, to the next level. Again, if that's what you want to do. If you don't want to do that, then that's cool.
Yeah.
But from our perspective, that would make it better. So I guess what I would say is, again, I have a feeling you're going to like this better than I will. What's your take on this show from a rating perspective?
Well, did you listen to the Drunk podcast? Is that
no?
Oh, okay. Because I was going to say that would obviously also.
He told me to listen
to
13, and okay, I wasn't so going to listen to Drunk. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, well, yeah. Because I don't have a see. Again, we talked about you don't like reality television, so you're also not going to like just kind of off the cuff.
Yeah, but
rambling.
I think I can be object. Yeah, but I think I can understand that that's what it is and rate it within that.
Okay.
You know. So.
Okay, we'll see. But I can't because I can't. I haven't listened to other couple podcasts other
What did you think of it? You've listened to other podcasts?
Yeah, I mean, I would rate it like a 3 because I think they are funny to listen to.
I got this one. I'm not going to be able to go to a 3 with you on. I'm looking at a 2.5.
Why didn't we just make it 1 to 10, Greg, if we're going to keep doing the 0.5?
I sort of was waving back and forth between a 2 and a 3, and that's where I came down on the 2.5.
Okay, but I just said 3, and you're like, oh, Clea, I don't know if I'm going to be able to greet you. And then you say 2.5. I thought you were going to say like one with that
No. I would say probably a 2.5.
Fine, 2.5.
Can you go down to a 2.5? All right.
Yeah,
2.5.
I can, because
lots of potential for
movement. Yeah, because I know actually, I mean, so. I'm counting on the fact that like the other podcasts, which I have to say, other podcasts, people are still listening. I really want to appreciate you sending emails back to us saying that you appreciated our comments and they're actually changing.
Yeah, the Will Flipson show has adjusted his website apparently.
That is one of the reasons why we honestly created this podcast to review everything, not podcasts. But then when people started sending them to us and it started working out and then you're sending us positive feedback back, it's very rewarding. So I'm glad to hear that. So I think that if that's any measure of what could happen, I think totally that they're going to go further than that. So I think people, even if it's a 2.5, should still go to it and see how it's going to change.
Yep.
And as a social worker, I find it extremely interesting to see two divorced people
right.
and what they're thinking.
And that summarizes the show. thanks, guys, for listening. And as always, we will see you guys in a week for another show of review goodness.
All right.
I'm Greg.
I'm Clea.
See you next week. The proceeding was a presentation of Upon Further Review, hosted at www.furtherreview.net. As usual, all rights are reserved. If you liked what you heard, please vote for us at podcastalley.com, vitalpodcast.com, and add us to your list of favorites at podcastpickle.com. You can leave us a comment at www.furtherreview.net, drop us a line at upon@furtherreview.net, or give us a phone call or send a fax to 206-339-UFR1. That's 206-339-8371. And lastly, don't be afraid to express your opinions. We know you have them. Let them out. Feel the power. Or you could just blindly accept whatever we tell you is fact. That'll work.